Yes, amen to that. Your kingdom come quickly. In these days, we're probably more than ever feeling those feelings of Lord, let your kingdom come quickly. It's terrible weather, as we've mentioned, and we continue to be in challenging circumstances. And look, these circumstances have been throughout history, different times. Just recently, someone talked about the Dark Ages, and they were talking about the Dark Ages being, we understand them as sort of an age where there was no enlightenment, there was no understanding. But actually, people are finding out that it sounded as if a volcano went off, and it was physically dark for 2 years, and everything, crops died, everything. There was mass starvation. So look, we've been through things that are worse than this, but at this time, again, it forces us to say and push us into Jesus. So I'm gonna pray, and then I've got a few things to say about where we're going and what we're doing today. So let's pray first, because it's just important to get our focus right this morning. So, Father, I thank you that let it be on earth like it is in heaven. In heaven, it is fully peaceful. It is fully joyful. It is fully of faith and healing and life and light. And Lord, I just pray that all of that would flood into each home and each person now, wherever they are, that your kingdom would come in their life right now, Father, that your kingdom would come, would flood in to every situation that is happening right at this moment. Father, I know specific things on my heart that we're praying for, but Lord, we pray for our nations. We pray for those who are in power, those who are struggling with health issues. And Father, I just continue to pray that your kingdom will come, and that people would understand that it is possible to live in a connection with you perpetually, in Jesus' name. Amen. So welcome to Living Waters Church. If you're tuning in, thank you. It's good. I was on a live stream yesterday, and there were 10,000 people watching. So I can assure you there aren't that many people watching today. But if you're one of the people who've tuned in, there's a connection, and I really appreciate it, because that's what we want to do. We want to keep that connection with each other, and keep that connection with God. Tanya mentioned there's things to be grateful for. One of the things which we can be grateful for is that we're not currently sitting in the school freezing cold. October is one of the coldest times to be in the school, because they don't bother putting the heating on until it's too late, and we're all sitting there rugged up. So I'm imagining you, rather than coats and shivering in front of me, I'm imagining you wrapped up in your dressing gown, and with your feet all toasty in your slippers. And that feels like a lot better thing. Anyway, let me move on with what we're talking about. If you haven't tuned in for the last few weeks, then we are in a different rhythm. Since September, we've started this sort of pattern of a live service on the first of the month, and then a live service on the third week in the month, and then on the second and the fourth, we want to meet in what we're calling Sunday bubbles. So that means that you gather a few people, as the government allows us to. It's six currently from different households, and get together. And then watch a video and talk about it. So those are the 2 and 4 Sundays, the sort of bubble Sundays, as we're calling them. And let me encourage you. It's good. The reason we can remember what we were talking about last week is because we talked about it, because we gathered together, and we did more than just intellectualize it. We we talked through what does it mean to be grateful? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What am I going to do differently this week? And as you've heard, Ella decided as a part of that discussion that she was going to, you know, write a post-it note and stick it up on a wall and say, that's what I'm grateful for today. And it might be a small thing or a big thing. I'm grateful that our prayers for Reuben, my nephew, continue to be answered. He's going through a tough time with dealing and managing a really serious epilepsy condition. And we're praying every day, but we have to remain grateful for the small things, that there's a nurse there who's looking after him, who's a Christian, who's praying, that God has put in that place. And God is practical. God is not, it's not theoretical. Our Christian walk is one where we learn how to walk in connection with God. And as a disciple, this is less about, it's less about just kind of doing the right things, but it's about learning to live as Jesus has lived, learning to walk as Jesus did, and in connection with God, and then out of that, being able to love others. So today I just want to talk a little bit of a, you know, sometimes we talk about discipleship, and that is our theme over the foreseeable future. But you know, we know the disciples, but then you go into the early church and you think, well, where were the disciples that we see in the new and emerging church of Acts and onwards? And so in Acts 16, we read about this individual called Timothy. And I just thought I'd give you a little thumbnail sketch, and that's all, not too much, of Timothy's life. And then maybe, you know, we can just see how that kind of applies to us. So in Acts 16 and at the beginning of verse 1, we read that this is talking about Paul and Silas, who were on a missionary journey. It was their second kind of missionary journey, because as the church started to be established, then Paul and others, but you know, we read more mostly about Paul going around visiting the churches, encouraging them, much like if we're stuck here and someone appeared and said, hey, look, I've made it over, I've done my quarantine, and I've come here to encourage you. That's kind of where it was at. So he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And that is the first mention we get of Timothy. But he's already described as a disciple, which is really quite interesting. He's not described so much as a believer, though his mother was a believer. He's described as the disciple, and I found that quite encouraging. If you read in 1 Corinthians, it might be 1 Timothy. It might be the letter to that Paul wrote to Timothy. He says Timothy's grandmother was a believer, and then his mother was a believer, and then Timothy himself was a believer, and Timothy was a young man. And so we find this young man coming from a mixed race family, a Jewish mum, a Greek dad. Later on, if you carry on down that passage, you'll find that, you know, he wasn't kind of fully in the Jewish tradition. He wasn't circumcised. And so that was, you know, it was a mixed up picture. But we hear he was a disciple of Jesus, and then he followed Paul, and he started following him, and they went around places, and he went with Paul and Silas and started to learn and started to walk in the ways of Paul. And if you read in 1 Corinthians, let me see if I can dial that one up for you. 1 Corinthians, I haven't got all these technical Bible verses coming up, so, you know, apologies for that. But if you read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, this is obviously a letter to the Corinthians, and he's saying, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. That's verse 16. And then Verse 17, "For this reason I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." So there you read that discipleship is a practical way of life. And I think more than anything, I want to kind of encourage us as we're going on this discipling journey. This isn't theoretical. This isn't kind of what do I believe, what can I sit down and philosophize about in an evening over a glass of red wine. This is a way of life. And Paul was wanting to send Timothy to demonstrate that way of life, to show here's an individual who is my disciple and a disciple of Jesus. Just that's the passage where Paul says, you know, don't follow me as I follow Christ, you know. And so there's a continuum there, and Timothy had learnt from Paul, so much so that he called him his son. He's, you know, this is the son I love. This is that relationship as well. And he was sending him to say, look, if you want to know how this works and how to do it, look at Timothy, because he's an example of what I do and what I teach everywhere where I go. So Paul wasn't just teaching a theory. He was teaching the practical application of being a disciple and walking in the ways of Jesus. And I think that's more than ever what we need to do. You know, it was great to talk about gratitude, but if by a week's time you haven't implemented something in your life that was different from last week, it just becomes theory. And changing your way of life is done by repetitive, regular, things over and over again until they become ingrained. That's how we learn as children, and we don't change. Be like little children. You know, the kingdom of God belongs to little children. It's not childishness. It's some of those things that we understand. We simply need to learn by repetition, by changing the way we do something and implementing it in as a lifestyle choice. What else was Timothy doing in this thumbnail sketch? 1 Timothy, and this is again, this is a letter to Timothy from Paul. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14. This is Paul now writing to Timothy. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. So he was still learning. He was still in that discipling process. On the one hand, Paul was confident to send him and say, look, you know, he's got enough so that you can start to follow him. But at the same time, he was still equipping Timothy with new instruction. So he was in that continuum that we've talked about before, where you're following someone and someone's following you. And that this is a clear example of that. So what do we know of Timothy? Well, one, he was willing. He was willing to go on this journey. He'd proved himself a disciple. And when Paul and Silas came on, you know, he just sort of took off from there. We don't know what he was doing particularly. We're not given those details. But he was willing to say, I want to go on a greater discipling journey. He saw in Paul and Silas men of God who were further ahead than he was, and he was like, right, this is my next step. I've learned from my grandmother, I've learned from my mother, I'm going to go on with Paul and Silas. And the other thing we find about is he's available to do that. So he's made a choice that he's going to seek first the kingdom of God. That's going to be his priority. It's not well, you know, if you come back in a year's time, it might be more convenient. He was available. He was willing and in an attitude. And then he'd made a way so he could do this. Sometimes, and I know life is complicated, but sometimes we've constructed a life which we can't change. I mean, coronavirus has has made our priorities slightly different, and maybe that's helped. But sometimes we've constructed so much busyness and so much activity and so much other things that when we start talking about putting something else into our schedule and our lifestyle, it's just overwhelming. So he was willing, he was available. The other thing was he was weak. Physically, we hear that he wasn't particularly well. So in 1 Timothy, where 5, later on in the next chapter, 5 and 23, this is an interesting scripture, because this is Paul specifically saying to Timothy in verse 23, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. So it wasn't that Timothy was, the most physically able individual, but God loves to use the weak to actually show how strong he is. And so, yeah, practically, Paul was saying to him, look, take some wine, look after yourself, balance your life. And part of this discipling journey isn't just cracking the whip and doing more hard work. It's learning to walk in those unforced rhythms of grace that we read about, that we're walking in step with Jesus, that we're carrying the right amount of burden, and he's carrying the load, and we're sharing that load. We're yoked to him, but we're not laboring under it, and we're not trying to run ahead of him, and we're walking as he walked, doing what the Father asked Jesus to do. So we're doing the same. We're listening to the Father and keeping those rhythms of life. It's practical, it's real. Sometimes you need to stop because or do something different because you're physically unwell, and God is not asking you to jeopardize that. And it's interesting when you read that. So he was unhealthy. He was unlikely, a mixed race individual, but also someone who was very young. We read in one of the passages that, don't let people despise your youth. So he was unusually young to be someone who was being set up as an example. Sometimes we think we can only be a disciple people if we've, been a Christian for so long we've forgotten, more than we remembered, and we've got to be a senior member of a church. This isn't the case. Timothy was young. So he was unhealthy, he was unlikely, he was unselfish. And Philippians, this is another great verse. See if I can find this one in Philippians 2 and 19. So you can see all throughout the New Testament, and particularly these letters of Paul, Timothy occurs all the time. Philippians 2 and verse 19. Again, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. He was being sent around a lot of the time. That I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So he was unselfish. He was thinking about the church. He was thinking about others. He was thinking about people who he knew were in need and needed discipling, which I think is a wonderful trait. My final point, 1 Timothy 4. As I said, I'm just giving you a bit of a sketch, and if you want to go back and look at Timothy's life, it's an interesting thing. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. This is Paul sending this letter to Timothy and talking to him. So this is part of this discipling model. And again, this is where you get this scripture. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And then he goes on to say, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scriptures, to preaching, and he gives him a whole lot of other things. But set an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. You know, it's interesting. There were people being caught up in all sorts of controversies, all sorts of stuff. And you know, being a disciple means we're going to have to speak wisely. And we're going to have to tweet wisely. We're going to have to use social media wisely. We're going to have to be set an example. In life meant in conduct. You know, how are we conducting ourselves? Not just when someone's looking, but how are we when we are the last one in the long queue at Lidl's? You know, are we one of the complainers, or are we setting an example? In love, in faith, in purity. That the whole kind of sense of conduct and in life is talking about a mold. It's talking about, you know, a repeated stamp that starts to have an effect. And you know, that's what God's talking about. This discipling journey is God's kind of repeated mark on our life, repeated stamp on our life, that actually starts to leave a mark and leave an indelible imprint on our lives, that actually we change the way we think, and we change the way we speak, and we change the way we act, and we change the way we live. And we set an example, and so that others coming along would describe us, just like in Acts, that there was a disciple of Jesus. So let me pray, and then I'm going to hand back to Tanya. Father, I thank you that you've called us to make disciples, and you've called us to be disciples, and you've called us to set an example in life, and in speech, and in love. And to this week, I just pray that Lord, you would encourage us. You would encourage us to follow you, but you'd encourage us because you give us opportunities to practice some of these things. And Father, thank you for those who continue to lead us and continue to input into our lives. And Lord, let us be those who are not just thinking of ourselves, but just like Jesus, we're thinking of others. We are considering others, and we're considering those who are on this discipling journey with. So, Father, I thank you that you would continue to resource us and continue to breathe your life into our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you. And next week we're going to be doing our Sunday bubbles. So already start thinking of who that person is, or those people are, who you're on that journey of discipling with, that you can encourage, that you can challenge, that you can now and work with. So let me pass you over and let Tanya just finish off for us.